Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We bring in the host of the Bill Shank Show on 93.1 FM in Macon and 99.5 FM in Warner Robins. Also a columnist for the Macon Telegraph, Macon.com, Mr. Bill Shanks. Good morning, sir, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. How are y'all?
We're doing well. Doing well, and glad we've rolled into 2017. Sam and I were discussing earlier this morning about the Braves schedule and that the very first, I guess, event that will take place there will be an exhibition game with the Yankees, and then the Braves are on the road, and we had one of our emailers, we were talking about the Braves starting on the road, and they were like, maybe it's just a little bit more of a cushion just to make sure the stadium is ready to go. Is that the case?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think the exhibition game against the Yankees kind of just a dry run to see how everything goes. And I would imagine they may even have parts of the stadium still blocked off. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how the timetable is going, but it sounds like it's going okay. But you never know about the weather. You know, that's the one thing that is kind of always tricky with these stadiums is the weather and how where was I reading about Chicago, the construction they're doing at Wrigley Field? They were asking for extensions on when the workers can work because of some of the weather delays that they have already had this year. And the mayor, I guess too preoccupied with all the murders in Chicago, turned them down. And so you never know about the weather with any construction for these facilities. So, but, yeah, I think just having that first game, we'll try to see see what they need to work on, and hopefully everything will be ready to go.
Yeah, and the schedule makers didn't really do them any favors since they go to New York and Pittsburgh and then the Marlins to open up the season. So they get to play a nice little road trip here to get things going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. That's going to be challenging, no doubt. But they've at least got 3 days off there early on, which is good, and that'll allow them to get their pitching staff in order and to get everything set. So that's always good. They get four days off in the month of April. I don't know if it's in effect this year, but I think the new CBA includes more days off, period. So they're going to have like more stretch the season out a little bit, make sure it starts like 1st of April instead of, you know, April 7th or something like that, and to make sure they're in spring training a certain amount of time. So, but yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that starts off, and it'll be here before you know it. I think we're now less than 6 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, so it'll be here soon.
Now, Bill, I saw something from ESPN where they ranked Major League Baseball's top 10 first basemen. It was just some insiders. It was a part of the ESPN insider thing. And they have Freddie Freeman as the top first baseman in Major League Baseball. Do you agree with that assessment?
The number one first baseman in Major League Baseball?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if he's the best first baseman in Major League Baseball. I mean, I think he's one of the better ones, especially with the way he performed second half of the season. I think you look at what his numbers were in that second half, and they were remarkable, and it can be attributed, I think, to Freddie being healthy and also having Endrens Yarte on base a lot there in that second half. You put kind of what Ender did in his second half, what Freddie did, and, of course, Ender being on base is going to cause more RBI opportunities for Freddie, and he took advantage of it. So, and you know, he has the ability. He shows this with, like, what he did there in the second half of how elite he can be, and I think that's why you look back on one of the things that Frank Wren did do right is to identify that this was a guy who would be a very good long-term investment and would really help the team and be that core player. And he showed that last year. I mean, there's no doubt that he has the ability to be a very good hitter with a very good batting average. He is able to take a walk. You know, he strikes out a lot. Most sluggers do, and he struck out a lot last year. But I think you see those home run numbers go up was very encouraging because they – it's kind of like how McCann was a couple of years ago. McCann, you could count on McCann's 20 home runs per year, and that was great. But, you know, I think, what was it, 2 or 3 years in a row, McCann led the Braves in home runs with, like, in the low 20s. They needed a slugger, and you never wanted Freddie to have to do that. And Matt Kemp kind of took on that role. But for Freddie to advance to 34 home runs from 18 the last 2 years and 23 being his previous high, especially with him starting to make $20 million next year, or this year, rather, that's a good sign.
Talking with Bill Shanks as we continue on here on the first Thursday of 2017. Sorry if you were asked this by the guys while I was out, but I meant to ask you this last week and I forgot. What are your thoughts on Damon Berryhill being the manager at AAA Gwinnett?
You know, he was a good player for the Braves for a couple of years back in the early 90s. I remember that was one of the more peculiar trades they've ever made, getting Mike Bielecki and Damon Berryhill that last week of the 91 season. They weren't able to play in the playoffs, but it was almost like making your big off-season trade the last week of the season before the winter even started. I don't know what kind of manager he is. I mean, I don't even know what the tie is as far as who he may be connected to in the organization, except the fact that he played for the Braves back in the early 90s, and he was a beloved teammate, and I remember him just being a real smart player. So, yeah, I think he's been with San Diego, if I remember correctly, for a while as a minor league manager. So they brought in Reed Cornelius for the pitching coach's job in AAA, and he had been in Miami as the bullpen coach for a while. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see Berryhill, and I can't remember if I ever interviewed him, but he was a good Brave, and we'll see how he does. But it was an interesting pick, kind of going outside of the organization. They had some other internal candidates, but they brought Berryhill in, so we'll see how he does.
Now, someone named Reed Cornelius is their pitching coach. So, what is the dynamic of a pitching coach at a AAA Gwinnett compared to a pitching coach on the major league level, and how do they work? You know, there's pitchers going up, coming down, that kind of thing. So how does all that work in the pecking order of the main pitching coach of the Braves compared to being a pitching coach for one of the minor league teams?
I would love to know if Chuck Hernandez has a connection with Reed Cornelius. And I that's a good question. I need to go back and kind of look at that, because the dynamic for me that's important with that question, David, is the synergy for the AAA pitching coach and the major league pitching coach to have, because of the yo-yo effect of pitchers going back and forth from Atlanta to Gwinnett. And that's not always an easy thing to do. When Leo Mazzoni was with the Braves, it could be difficult at times to have him on the same page, or I guess the other way around, have the other pitching coaches on the same page as what Leo wanted to do. But it's important, I think, because you're going to have those guys who go back and forth a lot, and you don't want them to do different things. I remember one time, for example, going to Charlotte to see the Richmond Braves, and Jason Marquis, who did not really get along with Leo Mazzoni, and he had much more success after he left Atlanta, which told you something. Leo had him doing something sidearm. And I remember walking into the old Charlotte Stadium now, not the one downtown, but the old Charlotte Stadium, and Guy Hansen, who I loved, he was a great guy and great pitching coach, I thought, was working with him. And, you know, it was kind of made clear to me by both of them that they were trying to clean up what had been going on in Atlanta. And so that it's really important to kind of have pitching coaches on the same wavelength. So I hope that Chuck Hernandez, the new Braves pitching coach for Atlanta, has a connection with Reed Cornelius. I would think that would probably be possible and maybe even probable, so that for those types of incidents to be avoided at all costs.
Talking with Bill Shanks.
Now, Bill, the pitching staff has obviously had some additions, and we've heard what Kapi has said about some of the younger guys and needing to pitch better and things like that. And obviously this is a staff and a front office that has shown that they are not afraid to go out and make moves. Do you think as the pitching staff is currently constructed, we are done with moves for now because some of the asking prices for some of those big name guys was just too much?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make any trade for any Chris Archer or Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray would be the one that I think they would have the best chance at, but I don't see that happening. The price tag has just been too high. I mean, the only thing I think that we'll see, Sam, is maybe a handful, maybe a couple of other pitchers brought in on minor league deals. I mean, they brought in John Danks to try to see what he has left in the tank. Not necessarily for the rotation, but just a couple of other. I mean, they've already brought in Jordan Walden back and Erik O'Flaherty back on minor league deals. There may be a couple of guys like that. I don't even think, you know, there's a pretty good number of relievers that are still out there. And I think they're okay. I think they feel pretty good about what they have and are ready to go with it. So I would be surprised if there was anything major for certain, and could only expect some other smaller deals. I mean, they did that. Several minor deals were made last January as well. They'll see how the market shakes out, who's available closer to when camp starts in February, whose prices have kind of gone down. Because they are aggressive and they are going to, they're not afraid of bringing in people to give them another chance and to see what the, you know, John Danks, I don't know if John Danks has a chance. He may just be a Gwinnett starting pitcher, but I like those kind of moves. I like to bring in guys. I mean, John Danks had some pretty good success several years ago for the Chicago White Sox, who's a very good pitcher. They almost got him in a trade for Edgar Renteria, like in 2009 or whatever, and that would have been a major trade at that point because of the way Danks was pitching and how he was a young pitcher at that point in his career. He's had trouble. He's fallen off. He had, I think, some shoulder situations that caused his velocity to dip, but they're giving him another chance, and I like that. You can go through the history of the Braves, and Leo Mazzoni deserves credit for this. Of a lot of pitchers that were kind of thrown to the woodshed and rehab their career with the Braves. John Burkett is one that sticks out. That I really love that story about how he was just thrown away by the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, which is what they were called back then, in like 2000, 2001, and the Braves needed another starter to kind of round the rotation and he had a great year for him. I think he even made the All-Star team for him in one of those 2 years, and then turned around and signed a big contract with the Boston Red Sox. So I like those kind of deals where you can see a pitcher that had success before, and is there anything left? If there's no risk or low risk to it, why not? And I think that could be something we could see from them before they get to spring training.
Talking with Bill Shanks, by the way, is Georgia football recruiting hysteria taking over your show and Middle Georgia and everything else?
Yeah, big time. It's been a lot of fun to watch. We were off a little bit, obviously, last couple of weeks, off and on. But to get back this week, I mean, there's been a lot of reaction to what's gone on, and it's fun. It's I think Jake Rowe, who I know is on y'all's show, he may have said the same thing with you guys yesterday, but he was on yesterday, and I think he said it correctly in that, you know, it's kind of making some of those casual recruiting fans a little bit more interested in what's going on this year, and that's good. And I mean, I'm a casual recruiting fan. I used to be a recruit, Nick. I used to be able to tell you every recruit known to mankind that Georgia was after, and I couldn't do it anymore. It took too much energy out of my day. But it's fun to watch, and it's great to. I wrote a column in the Telegraph yesterday about how this is exactly what needed to happen to have that talent level increase, and you just got to have more talent. You know, and sometimes people will call up and they'll say, stars don't matter. Well, Alabama's going to have 11 stars on their team start on – 11 five-star players start on Monday night on their team. Now, that's a lot more than Clemson. Clemson only has, I think, 2 five-star players on their team from rivals. But stars don't mean everything, but they mean a lot. And if it means increasing your talent level, that's what has to happen for this program to reach that next level. And it sure seems like it's happening right now. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think one thing more than anything that we've talked about in this is it's just a different feel in Athens, different feel around the program with Kirby and how much he's just ratcheted everything up.
I've used the phrase for several years, mainly about Georgia football, but it can be used in many things. There's a difference between good and great. I was never able to say, and never wanted to say, and would have never said that what was going on in Athens for a long time was not good. It was good. It wasn't great. One stat that I found last week or the other day when I was writing this column yesterday for the Telegraph that I just found amazing. If next week when the final AP Top 25 poll comes out, Georgia is not ranked, it will be the fifth time in 8 years that the Bulldogs have not been ranked in the final top 25 poll. So if over an eight-year period you are only ranked in the final poll three times, you got a problem. And I think part of that problem is you got to have better talent. You need better talent. You've got to have better talent, and you're not having the kind of seasons that your fans expect nor want nor believe they're supposed to have. And if he's taking care of that right now, that's the first step. You know, they've got to take the three-star players, or excuse me, the lingo that I think is correct. They as a coaching staff have got to take the three-star prospects and make them a four-star player. They've got to take the four-star prospects and make them a five-star player. In other words, player development is a big part of the story. But you've got to have a core base that come into your program every year and consistently. One of the charts I had that I kind of created to see the recruiting, I guess, range here in the last couple of years for Georgia on Rivals. There was, in the last 6 or 7 years, they were in the top five 1 year, and then they would be like 10 to 15. So it was back and forth. It was like 4, then 11, then 3, then 12. You can't do that. Not if you want to be a consistently great program. And, again, the difference between good and great. If they're going to be great, they've got to have a recruiting season like this every year, consistently. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was hired. I think we're seeing the fruits of that labor right now. And, you know, he's got to have the mindset the day after signing day, all right, we did great. We had one of the top classes in the country. It's time to do it again. And but you're right, to see that energy, to see those kids have that feeling, we haven't seen that, I don't think. And it's what we want. I think it's what every Georgia fan, there's not one that can complain about this, and if they are, they're crazy.
Bill, always great talking to you. A little bit of a little downtime here, but like you said, 6 weeks till pitchers and catchers report. You know, spring football practice will be on us before we know it. Baseball, it's a good time of year, and hope you had a happy new year, and look forward to a big 2017 with you.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right, Bill. All right, Bill Shanks, the host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins. Also, you can read his work at the Macon Telegraph at Macon.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.